Today on Real Radio.
People perish, the godly die before their time, and no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to realize that God has taken them away from evil days which are ahead. Oh, that's the attitude we should have. My friend, your husband died, your wife died, believing in Jesus? Yes, sir, they did believe in Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll pray for you and encourage you, but you know what? Let's focus. And every time someone dies in this fellowship or the family has someone who's had somebody die in this fellowship, I say the first thing you need to do is go to the Bible and go find scriptures and chapters of heaven and go see what they're looking at right now.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Our study takes a look at the first 10 verses of this chapter and asks the question, are you a sheep? Here is Pastor Jack Hibbs.
When a shepherd had a bunch of sheep, he would bring them into or near the village. He would put them in a communal fold. That's where all the shepherds would bring their sheep and park them. You ever been to a truck stop? They bring their trucks en masse, and then they all go in and they buy stuff. They take showers. They eat dinner. They get ready to hit the road again. Think about it like that. They bring all the sheep together. All of the sheep are all mixed up together. It's like bringing a bunch of churches together. Put them all in one massive, massive auditorium. And somewhere in the midst of all of those people is the pastor of their church. And that pastor goes, can you hear me? And the people who in that local community of fellowship would immediately hear the voice of their, and I call them under shepherd, pastor, and they would respond. Well, when the shepherd would go into town and be prepared or get preparations, he would come back and there's sheep everywhere. And the doorkeeper, by the way, is the guy that guards them for the sheep and the shepherd. The shepherd shows up and he says, hi, I'm here to get my sheep. And here's the deal. The doorkeeper, he didn't care. Listen, the pastor, or the word pastor shepherd is interchangeable from the Latin and the Greek. It means the same thing. The pastor, the shepherd, could only prove the fact that he was the shepherd of the sheep by calling them. And it's pretty funny because we've been there in Israel and we've heard and seen shepherds with their sheep. And they make the funny, they're really ridiculous sounds. But they have to be different from other shepherds and for other sheep. And they go, wee, 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 wee. And we're going, yeah. But it's true, they make this funny thing. And the sheep perk up and they respond. It's amazing. The shepherd, Jesus is saying, he's the shepherd, he's the pastor. He comes to the door and they respond to him. They know his voice. Jesus alone is qualified to shepherd. He says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He comes to the door of the communal sheepfold and he makes the noise, the sound, the call, and they respond. It's very important. The second thing we see here is in verse 3, Jesus alone is authorized to shepherd. I love it. It says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And so when the doorkeeper notices that when the shepherd speaks, the sheep respond, the doorkeeper opens. Now, this is kind of a neat thing. We don't really know the answer. Who's the doorkeeper? If Jesus is the pastor, the shepherd, and the sheep are us, the believer, then who's the doorkeeper? It's a great question. And we don't know for sure who the doorkeeper is. Some say it's the Holy Spirit. That's a good answer. But concerning the ancient time of Jesus, some suggest that it's John the Baptist. Interesting, because it was John's job to introduce Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but also the chief shepherd, to the house of Israel, the house of Israel that had no shepherd. So that's kind of romantic. It goes either way. I don't think you fault in either direction. The fact is, the sheep hear his voice. Whose voice? Well, we'll see in a moment that it's the door's voice. The door? Yep, Jesus is the door. There is the sheepfold, there is the doorkeeper, and then there is the door. The point is, the sheep listen to the shepherd. The shepherd is the door. We'll see this more in a moment. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Let me ask you clearly, are you a child of God? You should be able today to say yes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit puts an internal stamp in your gut. Can I put it that way? And you say, I know I'm his. I know I'm a sinner. I know I fail. I know I just get so, I don't do what I ought to do. I know I'm just not the person. But I know I belong to him. I'm ashamed of my sin, but I rejoice in his glory. There's this strange world we live in as believers. You know you belong to him because the Holy Spirit has put his seal or stamp or brand of approval on your life. Thirdly, Jesus alone is the faithful shepherd. He's faithful, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Does Jesus call you by name? The Bible says that he's given us a name. I'm glad about that. By name, he calls his own. Don't you love that? His own by name. You and I live in a funny world right now. Everybody wants to be, as we ancients put it, footloose and fancy free. I don't want anything to tie me down. I'm going to have all kinds of relationships. I'm going to sample the world. And all this baloney people are vomiting out of their mouth in what their philosophy. You know what? I'm going to shock you right now. You know what people want? They want to be owned. There's no greater thing in the world than for somebody to walk up to somebody else and put their arm around them and say, "You're mine." And all this stupid women's liberation cry and all this stuff. You know what? That movement came out of the fact that men vacated their position. If men would have been men, the women wouldn't have whined. And men and women today want relationship, and they want somebody to come and say, "You're mine. I'm not going to allow you to be sampled by other people in the world. You may have before, but now you're loved and adored and upheld and looked at and enjoyed, and no one's going to come near you." That's what people want. I tell you what, that's what I want spiritually. I want Jesus to come up to me, put his arm around me, and say, "You're mine." And you know what? He does do that. The day I got saved, I never thought about, well, maybe I should go feed in some other pasture for a while and see what the Moonies have to offer me. I didn't want what the Moonies had to offer me. I wanted that stupid candy and flour at the airport. Who wanted that thing? What is that? Jesus, give me the word of God. Well, you know, I know that I'm a Christian, but maybe I should go, study from the Watchtower Society for a while. What, are you crazy? I worry about you if that's your mind, because you know what? Jesus said if someone eats and drinks of him, they'll never be thirsty or hungry again. What are you doing? Have you read the Bible so much that you got to go look somewhere else? I don't get it. Jesus is the faithful shepherd. He calls us by name. I wonder what he would do. He calls us by name. I wonder how, does he say Jack? Well, to me, he says Jack, but I wonder, hey, grumpy, dopey, sneezy, sleepy, That could be a lot of people in church. Hey, grumpy. Jesus says, "Hey, dopey." About 25 people stand up. "Yes, Lord," No, the beautiful thing. Well, I had to do that because I looked up my name. I looked at my name this morning. I have an 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. I looked up my name. My name's Jack. People ask me if my name's John. Jack is a nickname for John. It's a great name, John, beloved of God, and Jack is a nickname. That's my real legal name. And you look it up, and it says an object to lift, a tool used to lift heavy objects. It also says the male gender of the equine. Then it says, comma, Jackass. That's, look it up. That's what it says. So I had to dig on you a little bit. The fact is, God knows your name. He knows my name. He knows your name. He calls us by name. Just think, we were wandering around the world, and at some point in time, the Lord called your name. You could have been at that bar. Hey, whoo, hey, buddy, how you doing there? All right. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, hey, Jack. And all of a sudden, the world just like stinks. Because you heard a voice, and he's calling you into the fold. He knows you by name. Does he know you by name? Do you know that? You need to know that. If you don't know that, you need to find that out. He may be calling you this morning. In Revelation 2:17, the Bible says, let him who has ears to hear, hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give him a new name. And all those who are named Jack said, amen. I'm going to get a new name in heaven. Abram. God's in the business of changing names. Abram to Abraham. Sarai, Sarah. Isn't that great? Jacob to what? Israel. Saul to Paul. He loves to change our names. Our names, our new names are in heaven. Isn't that great? I love that. He not only calls them by name, but he leads them. And I would be negligent to give you a Psalm 23, huh? He leads them. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 3, he restores my soul. Anybody needs soul restoring? Get in line. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, or doing the right thing for his name's sake. I love this, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea. How do you read that? You know, you read, if, yeah. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will... Yay. It says yay. Yay. Yahoo. Yippee. Yippee what? Yahoo. What? Listen, concerning death, he leads me through it. He doesn't say he takes me there and drops me off. He says he takes me through it. And it's only a shadow. It's not even death. The Christian never experiences death. He only passes through the shadow of it. That's a fact, by the way. Jesus will never take you anywhere where he hasn't been himself. You feel all alone. Oh, nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Jesus has been there before you. Call out to him. I know it sounds crazy, especially a lot of young teenagers. You know, these days, and maybe it's always been that way, but you know, they think deep and serious and scary thoughts. And this week we had a young teenager on the verge of suicide. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that kid. Some of you, oh, you know, we need to send him to a, you know, the. Oh, no, don't do that. Love on him. Pray. Give him a verse of the Bible that Jesus loves you. Come on, let's go get an ice cream cone, or the way it's been, a cup of hot coffee or something. Let's go. Come on, let's get out of your room. Let's go. Let's do something. Let's go skiing. Let's go do something. Don't send them to some place where they'll say, you know, you need to take these medications and you need to, listen, be careful. Talk to them. Why do you feel this way? Well, if they don't say anything, just spend time with them. Be careful. I don't feel like I'm worth anything. Let them know who they are. What about death? I love the fact that we can tell people Jesus could show up on the scene and say, what about death? We had a funeral this week. A friend of mine, a friend of ours died, and we had a funeral here on Thursday. And I love the fact that Jesus can say regarding death, been there, done that. He's been there, he's done that. He leads us even in what we think is the most horrible thing. And I thought about this for a while, and it cracked me up. You know what? That funeral was so, in fact, sorry, strike that, edit it from the tape, no funeral. It was a celebration. We had, I don't know how many hundreds of law enforcement officers in here from Los Angeles. And I tell you, you get that much brass on the chest and pistols on the side. There's a lot of ego in this room a couple days ago. You can feel it. And they come walking in. And they got a minute and they had to go back to work. So they got their flak jacket thing on, their armored vest thing. And they're sitting down there and they're like this. And as God's word goes out and as the worship was going on, and as we were celebrating this life, you see these guys just begin to go like this. What about death? These guys are already prepared for death, put on their gear, afraid of death. The world is afraid to die. The Christian, on the other hand, we celebrated a life. We're so funny as Christians. We don't get it. It's so funny. When one of our own dies, man, what happened? He died? Praise God. Hallelujah. How'd it happen? Yeah? Oh, let's have a party. Come on, let's get together. And that's what we did this week. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. We're so funny. We believe in God. We believe in the Bible. And then someone dies, goes to heaven, and we're, oh, man. Oh. Now I understand we're going to miss them. But we better rejoice. We got it all wrong, man. A baby's born into the world. We should send them flowers and say, man, I am sorry. A baby's born, people, oh, look, the baby. And you know, your baby may be the cutest thing in the world and have dimpled chads and all that stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The baby's born into the world to what? To die. The baby's born into the world of it's difficult. It's cold. It's hot. The world is uncertain. That child could be abused. We don't know what's going to happen. That kid could get cancer. All these things that are going on. And the baby's born in the world. So, man, I'm going to pray for you. You just gave birth. Oh, God help you. We're going to pray. But when a Christian dies, we ought to just stand and say, now, hallelujah, praise God. Have you ever been down south? You ever been down Atlanta way? You ever been down to New Orleans? Jacksonville? When a black brother or sister dies? I haven't been down there either, but I've seen on TV. You know what? They know what they're doing. And I love it. Brother Isaiah died. But he's not dead. He's in the presence of the Lord. And the people are going, amen. And they pull out Uncle Ben starts cooking and Aunt Jemima, she's got the food going, the band's playing, and they're rejoicing in the Lord. They're praising God, and a Christian dies, and we're all bummed out. I don't get it. When we die, my friend, we're more alive than ever before. We go home to be with Jesus. What? How? He leads us. We've missed it. We need to celebrate. We need to rejoice. Mark this verse down. Some of you will find this comforting. Isaiah 57, verse 1. People perish, the godly die before their time, and no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to realize that God has taken them away from evil days which are ahead. Oh, that's the attitude we should have. My friend, your husband died, your wife died, believing in Jesus? Yes, sir, they did believe in Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll pray for you and encourage you. But you know what? Let's focus. And every time someone dies in this fellowship or the family has someone who's had somebody die in this fellowship, I say the first thing you need to do is go to the Bible and go find scriptures and chapters of heaven and go see what they're looking at right now. What? Yeah, go see that right now they're looking at an emerald rainbow behind the throne of God, that there's a glassy sea of glory, that the Lord is sitting there, and there's angels, and they're bowing down in the presence of God, and they're hearing singing and songs, and there's people, Noah's there, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah. It's awesome. Man, we got it wrong. We need to get it right. He leads us. 1 Corinthians 15:55 tells us, oh, death, where's your sting? I love the Bible. It's mocking the grave. Death, where's your sting, huh? Where is it? Come on. Since Jesus has blown it to bits, what do you got to say to yourself? Come on. Hell or the grave, where's your victory? Nada, niet, no way. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or you could say our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Sheep are led, people. Sheep are led by God. In Israel, there's only one time you'll see sheep being driven by a man who might look somewhat like a shepherd. To the untrained eye, he looks like a shepherd. Say, what do you mean driven? Well, this is what I don't mean. I actually saw a taxi cab in Israel. Tinted windows, it's hilarious. This guy gets up and he opens the back door and four or five sheep get out of the back seat. That's not driven the way... Sheep are led. But if a man would have gotten out, see, and kicked the sheep, yelled at the sheep, hit it, and scared it, makes these weird, ugly sounds, and slap it. You see two clear dichotomies in Israel. One is the shepherd maintaining the sheep. The second is a man who's driving them. One leads them to wonderful pastures and still waters. He watches over for wolves and for animals in the area that would come and attack. He looks for robbers and thieves who would, by the way, jump the fence, slit the throat of the lambs, and throw them over the wall to their buddies that are on the outside during the night. The shepherd was guarding and watching. And then there's the hireling, or there's this guy, the one who drives the sheep, and he beats them. He's always beating them, always eating on them, always, listen, getting what he can out of them. The moment that they're no longer able to produce, he takes them to one place. One place is the pasture, and the other man takes them to the slaughterhouse. And en route, he doesn't feed them. He doesn't water them. And I don't mean give, I'm not just talking about instruction. I'm talking about he doesn't touch them. He's not holding them. He doesn't get to know them. Jesus knows you by name. But there are those who want to take the flock of Jesus Christ and assume the position, in fact, being imposters, and they drive sheep. And the moment that sheep is not producing, they'll treat you just like the world. You know what I'm talking about? You've been at that company for how long? 27 years? And now you've come down with something, and they give you a gold pen and a pink piece of paper. That's the world. And there's things called ministries that drive sheep.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, giving us a little bit of Jewish background on a Jewish text, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. It's a study called Are You a Sheep? We'll pick up with more of this study on our next broadcast of Real Radio. Meanwhile, you can get in touch with us and order your own audio copy of this study in its entirety. You can give us a call at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills at area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at www.calvaryCCH.org. That's calvaryCCH.org. As a matter of fact, you can get a lot of information when you visit us online. Everything from events and service times here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to other things happening with our many outreaches. That's calvaryCCH.org. Also remember that Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember you can always easily find it on our website at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.